So I'm Steve Martin. Welcome back. So excited to have as my guest Jane Lynch. She has an album, Swinging Little Christmas. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Jane Lynch in general, which could take days. She literally does everything. Emmys and Golden Globes for TV. She's a Broadway star. She's a an incredible singer, which you're going to hear in this form coming up. The movies that she's done, the ones that come to my mind, she's done a lot, but I love the mockumentaries because Jane will tell you there's a lot of, it's mostly improvised. A lot of it's improvised. Best in Show, Mighty Wind, For Your Consideration. You probably know those, movies. If not, you should probably go find them and watch them because they're just brilliant. Earlier in the program, we played a cut from Mighty Wind, which is one of those movies where Jane is a member of the new Main Street Singers, and they do one of the cuts in the show. The great movie. It shows her great ability to sing in that setting and also her incredible comedic timing. There's so much in that movie and all of them that she does. So happy to have Jane. You know, we're ending October and this show will get you right into November. I've never had enough music for a Halloween show. There's really very little music to do a Thanksgiving show. So this is our introduction into the holiday season as we all know it. And we're going to talk to Jane Lynch. First, we're going to play from that album, The Swingin' Little Christmas Time. I absolutely love this album. It's a swinging little Christmas, and the harmonies are phenomenal. Jane Lynch's voice you can hear all the time throughout everything, and the arrangements, Tim Davis. This is just a great, great album. I'm so happy to welcome to Unreal Bluegrass a favorite of mine, Jane Lynch. To the audience, you just heard an absolutely fantastic swinging Christmas song. The name of the tune is A Swingin' Little Christmas Time. It's on the album Swingin' Little Christmas, and it contains the great talent of my guest, and I'm so happy to get to talk to Jane Lynch. Jane, how are you?
I'm really good. Thank you for having me.
I'm thrilled to be able to talk about this album. It's such a great lifting Christmas collection. You have original things on here. You have things that I don't know of that aren't originals. We may get to that as we go. Some things I don't know of, and I think, well, I should know that. But the very first cut is written by, it's an original tune, A Swingin' Little Christmas Time, and that's an original cut. There's 15 cuts on the album, and five of them come from, I guess, within the group that you're working with.
Yeah, Tony Guerrero wrote those and arranged those. He's our master arranger, and he, of course, heads up the Tony Guerrero Quintet. And they're just an amazing jazz group that can, when you can play jazz, as you probably know, you can play any. So yeah. That's why, you know.
They really are fantastic. I kept listening and tried to pick out the different instruments, but the Tony Guerrero Quintet is throughout the album. And then
we have like a brass section in there at one point. We actually brought in strings for, I think for the Pacabell Canon / First Noel.
Yeah.
Okay. I think, yeah, but that was what we brought in, a whole string section and some brass. So we kind of cheated the quintet in that.
It's, the album is all, mostly swinging, and it's mostly a jazz feel. I'll tell you this too, Jane, and I grew up kind of being I was a young child, but I used to watch the Mills Brothers on the, you see them on Jack Parr, and my dream as a young child was to be on stage with the Mills Brothers. They didn't wait for me, but when I hear the arrangements on A Swingin' Little Christmas Time, I keep thinking of the Mills Brothers, and I think what a great, and they were so great and so tight in that sound they had. And just that great swinging sound. I really just love that tune a lot.
I'm so glad. Yeah, I'm glad you, I knew you would appreciate it, of course, but it is really special. I mean, it's a really special group of guys. And of course, I think the three of us, the singers, really complement it. We both, all eight of us love the late 50s, early 60s kind of jazzy, big band sound.
There are some big band, productions. There's also some smaller sounds from the band, that you have with you, the Tony Guerrero. So it's Jane Lynch, you, and Kate Flannery, and Tim Davis, I think, and I didn't know Tim Davis at all. I knew of Kate Flannery once I read about her, but Tim Davis was just in there producing and doing all kinds of great music. And I guess also actively worked on Glee, which is another thing that you are well known for.
Well, Keith, you know, it was Meredith the Drunk in the Office, and people who are Office fans know exactly who that is.
That's right.
And she and I have been singing together since we met in the late 80s in Chicago. Tim was the vocal arranger on Glee, and he's just the greatest guy. But he arranged over 600 songs that we did on Glee, all of them. He arranged all the vocals. And he became a very good friend, and when Kate and I were putting together this cabaret show, I said, we should bring Tim on board just to, you know, give us some good vocals. And before we knew it, we were like, Tim, you've got to join us because the three of us together sound great. I do say so myself.
Oh, it's
so
great.
But Tim, he arranges music all over Hollywood, and he does all sorts of stuff. I mean, he does movies. And he's a busy, busy guy and couldn't be more humble, couldn't be more wonderful, and couldn't look better in a suit. We always objectify him sexually.
The picture I have of the album, which is Swing a Little Christmas, he's got the tux on, and I would say, the tux works out for him well.
He looks pretty good, and then that album cover, too. Everything's kind of a family affair with us. Chris Haston, who is the photographer and also a partner of Kate for, I think they're going on 20 years now, but he was the NBC photographer. He's retired now, but he took the photograph. And Tim's wife and my wife styled that set, and with the silver tree from the late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah, I had one growing up.
We're in those clothes. Yeah.
Yeah, but definitely. I look at that and I think, I remember the tinsel. You know, we can't use tinsel anymore because apparently someone found out that cats eat it and it's not a good thing for them. So we don't use the tinsel anymore.
Right.
We used to love throwing the tinsel, but we had an aluminum tree one time. It's a great. That's a great look, which fits the album so well. I want to tell the listeners a little bit more. You mentioned Glee. Of course, Jane is award-winning, in her role as Sue Sylvester on Glee. That was very, very nice work that you did on that. You are a host of TV shows, including, yeah, you do everything. The Weakest Link, all kinds of good stuff. And Party Down is a show that I've been watching. And Party Down is, I want to think that a lot of it relates to, not it doesn't relate to, but the style that's involved. And I want to talk about these movies that a little bit that you were involved in, where I think isn't Party Down is sort of there's a script, of course, and a story, but is there a lot of improvising going on, or is it just that incredibly written?
I think it's incredibly written. It's one guy. His name is John Enbaum. He's
okay.
Every word. And I think that's a tribute to the writing and how he so writes for each character. I like learned who my character was through how John was writing.
Okay.
And I went, oh my God, this is hilarious. And now Martin Starr, who plays Roman, he improvises all the time. He cannot be stopped, and he's very good at it. So he's probably the only one that really, you know, improvises a lot. But for the most part, I know it looks like it's...
It has that feel,
kind of. It does have that feel, and that's a great compliment, I think, to John and, of course, to the cast.
Well, and of course, we're going to talk a lot about the album and your singing, which just blows me away. But I want to let everybody know, too, that Jane's a Broadway performer. And that Jane is in The Marvelous Miss Maisel, which nobody can stop watching. You kind of play a Broadway. It's a Broadway comic and also I think a performer. But you play Sophie.
Yeah,
Lennon.
she's like a stand up comic. But this is of course the late 50s, early 60s, and it's when women had to have a gimmick. Joan Rivers was probably the one who everybody remembers. But you go back to Moms Mabley, Phyllis Diller, those comics who, you know, the women couldn't just stand up there and talk about their life. They had to talk about how ugly they were and couldn't get a boyfriend. So that's what Sophie Lennon was. She had this character. She was the housewife from Queens, and she was loud and she was brash and she made fun of herself. She wore a fat suit. But in real life, she was this very kind of smug.
She was really deadly serious, and the scenes with her not on stage, it's like, you know, you're entering the world of Sophie Lennon and, show the proper respect. But she had that business sense that turned it on when she got on stage and knew what she was doing. And,
and it comes across. Yeah. She had absolutely in her real life had no sense of irony about herself. None. Zero sense of humor about herself.
So the reason I ask about the Party Down and whether there was any improvising is I absolutely love, the movies Best in Show, Mighty Wind. And for your consideration, and I think some of that was sort of scripted, but also there were things that were
that was not scripted.
Yeah, okay.
Zero dialogue on that one.
But really?
The Chris Guest stuff. Yeah. Well, what he would give us is a thumbnail sketch of our character, and really good stuff. You know, something about our backstory, about where we are now, and how we fit into a story. And then he and Eugene Levy would write the script out. It would look like a regular movie script with locations and. Would say like exterior, dog show parking lot, so-and-so and such talk about so-and-so. And then no dialogue. The rest of it is just completely improvised. He turned the camera on. We showed up, we had done our homework about who our person was and how that person dressed and where that person lived. We showed up like John Michael Higgins always says, we pack heavy in terms of preparation. And it's when you pack heavy, you have the freedom to improvise. It's the same thing with jazz. You have to really know your scales and your fundamentals. And
yeah.
Only then can you improvise, you know, successfully where it's like it's an art where it makes it music. So I would say the same thing with improv. It's almost like the jazz.
I think that's true. I think you have to be ready and then you create as you go and your performances in all three of those was,
you can't do it out of a vacuum. You have to know your instrument. You have to be very well schooled in it. You have a certain amount of, acumen before you can, go off the rails. So
well, I bring up those movies for a couple of reasons. One, I wanted to get into what you've just explained well about, how the dialogue, was there and I guess a skeleton form and the character was developed. And then everything else was more or less, as it was happening, which is blows my mind even more than I ever thought. But I really found out and started paying attention to the fact that you are a wonderful singer when I saw the Mighty Wind, which is a folk, kind of a take on the folk. And you were part of the Main Street Singers and they had many different names. Mm-hmm. But as I watched, I thought, I don't know what everybody else is doing, but Jane's a great singer. And I just thought, wow, I was so impressed with that.
Oh, thank you. And everybody was singing, their own stuff too.
Yeah.
And not just, but we were based on the New Christy Minstrels. And which brings me to, speak about John Michael Higgins.
Yes, please.
He is a freaking genius. He knows so much about so much, but when it comes to music and when it comes to the vocals, the guy is just off the charts. He has an entire music room of vinyl. And he takes apart harmonies and, he knows every a cappella group that ever recorded, from the high lows through the, the New Christy Minstrels, which weren't exactly a cappella, they were kind of a folk group, right. But he knows, he dives into the harmony stuff. So he arranged all of our harmonies and he wrote a couple of the songs too. And they were, he went so far with the harmonies, there was no easy chords. There were no major chords. Everything was diminished and crunchy and with notes. Like some of the notes I had to sing were threading this needle that, you just fall just slightly off tone, you ruin the whole thing. So it was a real challenge and he made me into a singer. He really did. And he did it with such love and such precision and just, he's just an amazing guy. And being a part of that movie with him was truly a highlight and probably the highlight of my career. We were just all flying high on it.
I'm talking to Jane Lynch if you're just now tuning in I want to talk about the album, of course, the A Swing a Little Christmas, which we'll get to more, but I wanted to back up and fill in some other things. So what you've told me now about the Mighty Wind, and you've mentioned this before off the air of how you learned I guess more of your singing craft. Well, let me stop and do this first. Is that the first thing on film that I would have ever seen you singing in?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Good. All right. I thought I knew. Okay. So you go through this change. I don't mind you explaining how you talked a little bit about, the structure of the arrangements and how everything. But so when you go through those chords you're mentioning, do they become part of how you sing or what you hear? Like when you sing with Kate or when you sing on this album, I know you and Kate do some things. Do you hear differently through your one good ear, I guess we could say?
Yeah, I have deaf in one ear for those who don't know. I have a nerve deafness in my right ear, but like I was telling you, Steve, my left ear is quite sensational.
Yeah.
It really hears. It hears tones and stuff like that. And that I don't know, maybe if I were full hearing with both ears, I wouldn't be able to
wouldn't
hear
work
them.
As well.
But Kate Flannery, my cohort in all of this, has two functioning ears. And that woman, her pitch and her ability to hear a harmony is unrivaled. I haven't met anybody like her, except Tim Davis, of course, who is our other cohort in this, who has really a wonderful ear for harmonies. But yeah, working with Michael on A Mighty Wind, I can't translate like a note on a paper into my head. I have to hear it. I have to hear it over and over again. And he kind of really got me to a place where I could start to hear these tones and could, you know, insert them into a chord and just, you know, the satisfaction of that, of singing something gorgeous and heartbreaking and just transcendent, you know, just voices doing that was like a religious experience.
Can you?
And I have that every night with Kate and Tim and the guys when we perform live.
The so you hear different. You hear, I'll say more. Your hearing is more acute, or to those diminished chords and all those other things. So you can hear your part better after having gone through something like the Mighty Wind.
Yes. Okay. After having gone through this with Michael, absolutely. And a lot of times with Michael, I did the. I was the soprano also. I entered that, the production of that movie as an alto. I had always been an alto or a second soprano, and I became the first soprano. So he, you know, goosed me up as well. and sometimes I was doing the melody, but there were other times I was just doing some of these descants that were going all over the place.
Did you recognize through that, we'll call it a process, and I guess it is one, did you recognize that your range was greater than it was, or that your capability of singing and hitting notes was better than maybe you thought?
Yes.
That's something.
I learned that through him. And he didn't think for like a minute. He never let me think that I couldn't do it. He would hit the note on the piano, "You're going to get here." And I was like, "What?" it came. I found a place to put it.
That's, so maybe that explains the singing and the playing. I mean, I could go on for a long, long time talking about Tony Guerrero, the songs that he's written in his quintet, just phenomenal jazz. And I'm a huge jazz fan. And I love everything that they're doing. I didn't know them, but for this, I guess because they spend more time on the West Coast. And, if they're going to drift through a club here, they probably wouldn't come this far. They don't have to. But there's great playing in the singing. We played a Swing a Little Christmas Time, which we've talked about, so one of the really big, big sounds that comes out of this, I think, is it's another original, Winters Are Never Cold When You're Around. And that's sort of a big band punch to it. Maybe that's where you had some horns come in. I don't know.
Yes, indeed. We had a horn section come
in. And that is that's a beautiful song, and I think that's you.
Thank you so much. You know, that was the first one he wrote. When we decided we were going to do this album, we said, well, let's look at the public domain Christmas songs and put our own twist on them. So, I mean, it's public domain, you don't have to pay for them. We did that. And then Tony on the plane, we were actually on tour at that point, with the first show we were doing together about 4 or 5 years ago. And on the plane on the way home, he wrote that. And Tony is also our trumpet player, and he loves Louis Armstrong. And next to the Louis Armstrong Museum, he has the most Louis Armstrong paraphernalia in the world. So he's totally into it. And he's a brilliant trumpet player.
Aren't people like that just amazing? And then you have all this, I guess it's envy, you should, if you're interested in music, but then you're just in awe of what they can, and then they switch off and do other things and they can write and create. And, you know,
he plays the piano, and there's one song where he picked up the guitar and he started playing the classical guitar.
I don't get it. I love people like that, and I don't get it. But it's a beautiful tune. It's one of my favorites on it. The second tune is, instead of Up on the Rooftop, is a twist on Up on the Housetop. I guess that's, well, that's public domain, certainly by now. Wouldn't you think that Up on the Rooftop? Yeah, yeah.
This up one, on the Housetop, yeah.
Up on, yeah, yours is Up on the Housetop, and it's
Oh, isn't Up on the Housetop? I don't think it's called Up on the Rooftop. Maybe it is.
No, it's Up on the Housetop, but I'm saying I think it's a derivative at least of Up on the Rooftop.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, I just what I hear, but I could be wrong. So I have these marks for my notes for, and this is Kate, and this is a song that I had asked you communicating back and forth. I wanted to make sure what the original tunes were. And, Kate does, Good King Wenceslas, like it's never been done before.
She wrote that arrangement.
Oh, did she really?
Yeah. Bum, ba-dum, bum, bum, ba-dum, bum. Oh, God, who is it? Like,
yeah, that's right. At the end, she's scatting. She's scatting, but then she throws in some, so you're going along fine. Great, great, great. And then she throws in some other, lyrics that are kind of like, wait a minute. I got to back that up to actually hear what she was saying. And,
he's got all the power. Good-looking Wenceslas, something or other. Yeah. Doesn't take a shower.
That's right. And one of them, Chinese food. I sung in a choir when I was a kid and I don't remember those lyrics around Christmas time.
She added her own.
Oh, that's hysterical. I don't know this song at all, and I have to assume it's just my lack of exposure, although you would think at this age I would know most tunes that are, you know, kind of Christmas holiday time. Bring a Torch, Jeanette, Isabella. I don't know that one at all.
Yeah, that's it's a religious song. It's Bring the Torch to the Cradle, you know, where Jesus is born. Yeah, it's a beautiful. Beautiful old song. I think it might be French.
I've never heard it.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bring the torch to Ned Isabella. Bring the torch. Yeah, it's probably one of the more obscure ones.
See what happens when people come on real bluegrass, they sing. And if you listen to it, you can actually hear Jane sing. That's what we're talking about. Yeah. Swinging Little Christmas. Yeah. The song right after that is an absolute mind blower, at least as I look down. The Sentimental Christmas is Christmas time. That you talk about something that'll make you kind of do a double take. Absolutely gorgeous melody, Jane, and absolutely gorgeous singing and references.
Three-part harmony.
Oh, yeah. And the references to things that you think, yeah, I always did that as a kid at Christmas or whenever. And then there's always another line in there that kind of, again, makes you.
Kate.
Is that Kate too?
Oh, they're staring. About how she passed out on the bathroom.
That's right.
We're singing about opening presents.
It's so beautiful.
By the fire, and then she's getting arrested for streaking.
Yeah. And one of her parents puts cigarette butts in her stocking.
Yes.
And I thought.
Or slipped a Mickey in my nog.
Yeah, that's right. So it's an absolutely, and I assume this is originated with Tony, the melody.
Tony wrote it. Yeah.
And it's a beautiful, was the consideration that we're just going to do it straight, and then those things came out with Kate at the end, or because I mean,
no, well, Tony wrote it that way.
Oh, did he really?
He assigned those lines to Kate. So Jim and I were like, you know, when we perform it, we're like husband and wife, and Kate is like the third wheel, always adding the not so festive parts of Christmas.
Well, I thought that might happen, and I want to remind the audience too that. You do perform this, I assume. Do you still, you'll
get out? All over the country.
Yeah.
We start touring this year right after Thanksgiving, and we're all over the country. So check it out. Go to Jane Lynch Official and you can see the dates.
That's what I was going to ask you where to find it.
It's the best part of every year is that we jump usually in a van and every once in a while we get on a plane, but we go almost all over the country.
That would be such
about 3 weeks.
The album is so great, and I can tell, knowing a little bit about you and listening to it enough, I can tell that there are performance parts to it that are kind of written into the songs, and maybe that's what we're saying on Sentimental Christmas Time. There are things that you can kind of play off of each other,
we play off of each other the whole time. You know, Kate and I have been performing together forever, so we're kind of. I think of it as like Eve Arden and Kate. Oh, what's her name? Kate Ballard.
Oh my gosh! Yes, them, yeah,
the
sure.
Mothers-in-law.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh.
She's kind of like Kate Ballard, and I'm Eve Arden.
Oh man.
I love that. Taskmaster keeping us on point, and she's the one who goes off on.
I love that reference. When you said that, I thought, oh, where's she going? And I knew the show, and I had the picture in my mind of Kay, and I couldn't put it together. So you did, because I thought exactly that's what it was. Well, that's a great reference. That focuses.
We always say Tim is our Lyle Wagner. From Carol Burnett Show.
Sure, good sure. Looking. Yeah.
He's in the handsome business.
That's a good. That's
and
a good
so
business.
Is Tim. Tim is in the handsome business, but the voice of just an angel. Just I can see.
I love the fact that, and if you listen to, and you can find, I'm assuming you can find Swingin' Little Christmas, the CD, also on Jane Lynch, the website that you gave out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, okay. It's also on Amazon and Spotify.
Yeah. Okay. And I would recommend it when people, cause it just.
Amazon, iTunes.
Yeah. I think if you just look it up, you'll find opportunities to purchase it, I think. And certainly go on Jane's website.
Yeah. Right there.
Yeah. And it's a wonderful, I love the swing, and it's definitely swinging. The Jingle Bells swings. I've written swing by, you know, Jingle Bells, what can you do with it? Well, you can make it up tempo and you can make it swing, and it just works so great when you run it through.
J-I-N-G-L-E Bells. Which we actually ripped off. I forget who did that, but we kind of ripped off somebody else's.
I've told you this maybe off the air. I was a Mills Brothers fan, and I have a Christmas record they did.
Yeah.
And they sing J-I-N-G-L Bells.
Now, oh, then we ripped it off in the Mills Brothers.
Well, there you go. That's a good
God
source.
Bless them.
I'm not saying they're the only ones that did it, but I know that that's in my head as the spelling it out. They did a Christmas album, and it was just all Mills Brothers greatness. So, let me talk about a little bit. You mentioned, just in passing the first Noel and the Canon and D. There are deadly serious, beautiful, gorgeous Christmas songs on this. Let's just move away from the stuff that's written to raise an eyebrow at the right time and just cleverly done. Mm-hmm. But that is one of the just an absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous rendition of that tune, which everybody would know.
Well, Tony discovered, and I'm sure someone else discovered it sometime, but he discovered that the chord progression in the first Noel is basically the chord progression of the Taco Bell canon. And so he put them together, and it's gorgeous.
It is.
It's a piano in the beginning. That's Tony playing.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to ask you that. You had mentioned that earlier. I figured that's who it must be. It's a gorgeous melding. It just kind of floats into it. It's like, well, I've never heard this put together like this before.
And then we do a kind of a beautiful three-part First Noel, and it's almost like for us anyway, singing it and helping the audience too, that it's kind of transcendent and exultant. And
does it? It does it.
Beautiful.
It reaches that. Here's another tune I mentioned earlier that I'm bemoaning the fact that I didn't know. Bring a Torch, Jeanette Isabella. I also don't know, Carol of the Russian Children. That was new to me.
Oh yeah, that was obscure. Yeah, that's an obscure one. There's a group called Voices Unlimited from like the 70s. They did a cappella and they did a Christmas album, and they did a rendition of Voice of the Russian Children. So we loved that. So Tim kind of played around with it and we created our own. And it's a cappella. It's, quite dark and lots of minor chords, and it's a very difficult song to sing, so we do it as our encore, flat on our backs on the floor. We lay down.
If you want this, you're going to get it, but we're going to lay down.
Yep, exactly. The chords are just so, it's an example of James.
I love it. I love it.
The arranging vocals and how, you know, he gives John Michael Higgins a run for his money.
And before that, there's an instrumental. We've talked a lot about Tony and the musicianship of the quintet and what he's done. There's an instrumental, Silent Night, which is, that's just, and it's got the organ. It's got that, the Hammond organ, I think it sounds like.
Yep.
What a beautiful, nice, jazzy, instrumental of Silent Night. All these great things on this album.
They do such great work. Yeah. It's a beautiful rendition.
It is. And so, well, let me ask you this: when instrumentals are being done, are you hanging around? Or are you still in the recording thing? I would love to see that done. I would love to see those people come together and play something like that instrumental side.
Oh yeah, we sit there and take it all in. Absolutely. Yeah, that, so they, at about the midpoint of our show, there's, the way the show is structured is, at the top we do a lot of the bouncy fun stuff, my favorite time of year, and then when you get to the instrumental of Silent Night, it starts to slow down a little, and that's when we go into Bring a Torch, which is a little more touching, and then, we do a kind of Dave Brubeck, We Three Kings.
I heard, I noticed that.
And then that goes into the Paco Bell Canon / Peace Noel.
Oh, nice.
And then we end it with a rousing rendition of the Alleluia Chorus, which we do at triple speed.
Really?
Yes.
I see. I need to see this show live, Jane. I'm going to have to make sure.
Me
too. I'm going to have to find you somewhere. If you're traveling around all around the holidays, I'm going to, I'll find something and travel it.
15 or 16 years. Hopefully there's one near you.
I think there should be. If not, I'll find one close enough, and I would love to see this done. That'd be so great.
I'd love to meet you in person.
I would too. I would love to meet you in person. I don't love to meet me. I see myself every day, but I would love to meet you.
I do too. I see me every day too. I'm over it.
I want to talk some more about some of these original songs and Hey There Santa, which is again a Kate, I'll just call that a Kate Flannery special then. If we're going to go that way, that's one that, it's an original tune and Kate just, again, it's just, it has that tinge of humor. It has humor where it's, you know, Santa Claus is watching you all the time, and I hope you weren't looking when I did this. I'm not quoting the lyrics, but, you know.
I didn't mean to do whatever. Yeah. She's so funny. And, you know, Tim wrote that. Not Tim. Tony wrote that.
Yeah.
And it sounds like some, what I love about it, it does sound like a classic Christmas song that would have been written in like 1962.
Yeah. Yeah. It does. And that, so many of these things. And I said the sentimental Christmas time, I think. But no, and all the melodies and everything are right in that wheelhouse that you want to have this music in for a swinging little Christmas. This is just great stuff. It cooks. The vocals are just mind blowing. I'm so thrilled to get a chance to listen to it and talk to you about it. It's a wonderful, I know where to find it. I know where to find you if I look you up. Kitsch Tone Records, which is Jane and one other person you told
Tony.
Me. Tony. Okay.
Tony Guerrero.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And we got a website where we can find it. This album, by the way, when it was released in the top 10 of the Billboard Adult Contemporary, that's a nice thing.
Indeed. Yeah. Yeah. Not just Christmas music either.
Yeah. Adult Contemporary.
Little kit and caboodle.
I love the way this thing swings. I love the vocals on it. I love the listening for the bits of the humor. Even the songs that have humor aren't silly. That's what I was looking for to say. Like even the ones that have a bit of humor, they aren't silly songs. They're not done to be silly. They fit right in that. And then they're just a little twist here and there, but that's just so entertaining.
Musically, it's really solid.
That's
sure.
Okay. That's a much better description than what I'm saying. Yeah. You're not doing Spike Jones. You're doing great jazz music with I just love all this. I love all of it. I want you to do a bit of an introduction as the audience heard Swinging a Little Christmas Time, which is the first cut on the album. But I want you to do we talked about this a little bit. I want you to lead into this, and then I'll let you go. But I want you to lead into the Coventry Carol, which is, it's a mind-blowingly beautiful.
Well, Tim arranged this. It's a cappella. It's the Coventry Carol, which sometimes isn't a, you know, sometimes they play it all year round. It's kind of it's about the birth of Jesus, but it's a three-part harmony, and it's very tight, and it's very, it'll go right to your heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of that mystery and that anticipation and the birth of the Christ child and how all are being called to this light. And Tim, who is a quite devout person himself, put everything of himself into this arrangement. Mm. And it's just gorgeous. It's just gorgeous.
Gorgeous is a word I've used too much as we discussed this, but so much of it is. And it's right in my, I love this type of feel. I love this kind of swinging jazz. And it's just, it's gorgeous to say the least. I wanted to mention this too, that in addition to all the other places you can see Jane Lynch, which is virtually everywhere that you can have access to some kind of media or some stage, you also kind of have a recurring role as, and I love this name, Saz Pataki.
Yes, Pataki. Only Murders in the Building. Yes, yeah, that's great. Plays your namesake, Steve Martin.
Yeah.
The other Steve.
The Martin. Other one. He's the other one.
I play his characters.
Stunt double.
Used to be, stunt double. You know, Steve's character used to be in a detective series.
Yeah.
In
the 80s
called Brazos. Yeah. And I played his. I am his stunt double, and I do everything better than him.
That's the character talking, I think.
Definitely the character.
I love everything. I just can't get enough of this album. I've been listening to it for days because it's just kind of how I prepare. I want to get everything in my soul, I suppose. I'm over-exaggerating, but I want to get every bit of every nuance that I can. And I love it so much, The Swinging Little Christmas. And we're talking to Jane Lynch. We're so happy to have her. There's so much going on in this album. There's so much going on in Jane's life as a performer. We went through just a small amount of things that you can find her on. And just doing everything and being everywhere. And I think, Jane, I think you're having fun.
Oh, I'm having a blast. Yeah, I just love it. I love it, love it.
Let me, all right, you did a nice intro into Coventry Carol. And we're going to play that. And I'm going to sadly say goodbye to Jane Lynch. I hope we get to see each other and talk again in the future about whatever's going on.
That would be wonderful. Yeah. That would be wonderful. Thank you for inviting me. I so appreciate it.
Thank you, Jane. And this is Coventry Carol. Thanks.